What's up, and welcome to the Real Life Podcast. Real Life is the student ministry of North Highland Church located in Columbus, Georgia. We exist to reach others with the love of God, engage in Christian community, advance in our faith, and lead others to Christ. For more information about Real Life, you can visit us at reallifecolumbus.com or follow us on all social media platforms at Real Life Columbus. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy.
You have God's attention tonight, Real Life. He loves you so much, and I do too. I was given the privilege to meet some new folks from Central High School, I believe. We got some people representing Central. We got Northside in the house. Any Columbus High School students? Shaw. We got Shaw. We got some Shaw Raiders. Teen Challenge, let me hear you. Awesome. We love you, Real Life. Can we pray one more time as we had the transition? I want to get us focused on God's word. Y'all ready for God's word tonight? Praise God. Jesus, we love you tonight. Thank you so much for how much you love us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your sacrifice for us. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm so glad that you guys are here tonight for week two of our series, Your Best Life. How many know without the cross of Jesus Christ, it is impossible for us to live our best life? And tonight, well, week one, we established that the foundation of your best life is built upon your thought life. And tonight I have a word that will transform your life if you are courageous enough to embrace it. And so I'm praying that God will allow us to be ready for what he has for us. Last week, at Real Life, we shared that a key to unlocking your best life is cultivating your positive mindset. And if you missed it last week, if this is your first time, you didn't come last week, but we have a free podcast on iTunes and Spotify. You are welcome to go and catch up. It's completely free. And I want to begin by sharing tonight a story from my life from a couple years ago. And tonight, the tool we're sharing from God's word that will ensure your best life is the ability to embrace and also to extend forgiveness. The ability to embrace forgiveness for yourself and the ability to extend forgiveness to others. That will ensure your best life. Amen? Mother Teresa said once that if we really want to love, we must learn to forgive. If we really want to love, we must learn to forgive. Many of us have experienced the unfortunate reality that unfortunately church people can be judgmental. Anyone been a witness to that? Sometimes church people can be judgmental. Religious people can be arrogant. Religious people can look down on people. And it's not what God intended for his church. Somebody should say amen to that. If we're honest with ourselves, many times our natural carnal tendency, our natural reaction because of our sinful nature is to judge people around us and to judge them pretty harshly. We hold them to a standard that we don't even hold ourselves to at times. And a few years ago, I was leading at a different church, and one Wednesday night after service, I had a parent come to me. It was a very awkward situation. And I had a parent come to me, and very much like Real Life, we had a middle school service and a high school service that happened at the same time. I'm passionate about high school students. I love you guys. And so I was always in the high school service. I had a middle school pastor, and I was there, and the parent came with a very disturbing story. She came upset and angry. Said, "Pastor, you got to do something." And she described there was this little girl that came for the very first time. She was in eighth grade, and she came, and she was dressed to impress, y'all. She came working it. And she had this mini skirt. I'm talking like this isn't just a normal eighth grade student. This is a girl that she is like 13, 14 years old, but she looks like she's 20. Right? You know you got friends. You know people like this. And so she came with this mini skirt that literally left very little to the imagination, if y'all know what I'm talking about. It was not to school dress code, let alone church, right? And she had this crop top. I mean, I'm telling you, she came looking like she was ready for the club, not for Wednesday night church. Okay? And one would probably assume she had never been before. And so the pain that was expressed in this parent's eyes were explained in the story of how this little girl was treated when she came to the church. And the parent leader told me that this little girl was told by a staff member that you look like trash. You look like trash, and so here's this black trash bag that I've put holes in for your arms, and you need to wear this all service because, number one, you look like trash, but number two, if you don't wear this, you'll be a distraction, so you've got to wear this the rest of the service. Somebody just said sick, and that's true. It was sickening. The judgment that happened, they told her she needed to wear it so she wouldn't distract anyone. And this absolutely, like many of us hearing it for the first time, imagine being in the middle of it. It broke my heart, y'all. I was both brokenhearted and furious. Because the church should be a place of love, acceptance, and forgiveness. We should not expect people who are far from God to act like they love God. We should love them into the kingdom of God, not reject them because of their patterns of sinful nature. Amen. The next day, I was furious, and no one deserves to be treated like that. And I was upset, I was angry, and so I took it to my authorities. I explained the details and asked what we can do to fix this and prevent it from ever happening again, trying to shepherd the flock as a good pastor. And I was absolutely floored by the reaction. Y'all, I was told that I was the wrong person. I was in the wrong. I was told that I should always have the back of my coworkers, that I should never speak negatively about fellow staff members. I was told that nothing would be done about this little girl, and that crushed my heart. I was put literally on probation for a few months. I was told that because you spoke negatively against another staff member, you're on probation. To be honest, I was so mad. I was so angry. I literally, my sinful nature was just like, come at me. This is not right. I was so angry, and I had a choice in that moment. I had a choice to allow bitterness and anger and resentment, this injustice, this can't happen. I could allow that to tear my heart in pieces, or I could learn to lean on Jesus and forgive even when injustice was happening. The person responsible for hurting this little girl deserved to pay a penalty for their actions, and instead I was being punished, and I did nothing wrong. Anyone in the room ever got punished for something you didn't do? Yeah? Anyone with siblings is like, yes and amen. They did it, but I got in trouble. It was their bad attitude, but mama spanked me, whatever. But in this difficult situation, I learned through pain and through a lot of prayer that we all should be grateful that we don't get what we deserve. All of us, even though I was wronged, even though it wasn't right, even though it was injustice, through prayer and asking God, what are you doing? I learned that, man, we all should be grateful that we don't get what we deserve. Because I know what I've done, real life. I know the past that is in my past. I know all the things that I'm not proud of about myself. I know I'm not perfect by any means. And I know that God's word says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's the reality of what I deserve. But this is the grace of God. The gift of God is eternal life. So the fact remains, no matter if I'm right or if I'm wrong, God loves me because of his grace and gives me eternal life. He gives me what I don't deserve. And that's good news tonight. I've learned over the years to have extra grace for others because, guys, I've received extra grace myself when I needed it most. Amen? In the moment, I had this choice to forgive or to get angry and get even. And I'm here tonight to testify that on the other side I'm leading one of the number one student ministries in Georgia, living my best life because I forgave when it hurt. I didn't allow it to destroy my life. I got to a better place. Amen. I chose to let go and I chose to trust God even when it made no sense. In real life, we want you to live your best life. And tonight, God wants you to understand to forgive is to set a prisoner free. And many times, forgiveness will help us discover that that prisoner was you. Many times, discovering the freedom that's found in forgiveness, you'll set yourself free just as much as you set someone else free through your forgiveness. When I let go and I let God, man, I was given the opportunity of a lifetime here in Columbus, Georgia. And it took a couple years, but forgiveness unlocked my best life. And it can do the same for you tonight if you'll let it. Just because we have every reason to be upset does not give us the right to hold on to anger and unforgiveness, real life. Just because you have every right, just because the situation you're facing makes no sense, it doesn't give you the right to hold on to anger and unforgiveness. Just because the person or the people who have hurt you have not apologized does not give you the right to live in unforgiveness. Man, that will destroy you on the inside. It will destroy your heart. You will become hard-hearted. You'll become bitter. People won't want to be around you if you hold on to that grudge. If you always have a chip on your shoulder, no one's going to trust you. They're not going to feel safe around you. But unforgiveness destroys us. Tonight, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 7. Starting in verse 36, it's a powerful story of forgiveness. It says this. It says, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus, a religious leader, invited Jesus to have dinner with him, Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and he was chilling. It says he was reclining at the table. Probably got some grapes. You eat that grape, right? You've got to read the Bible. It's alive. It is awesome. There was a woman in that town who lived a sinful life. People knew her business. People probably judged her. And this woman learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood, just imagine this in your mind's eye, as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, this was not just an emotional, oh Jesus, you're awesome. This was literally flowing tears, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears, and then she wiped them with her hair. She kissed his feet and poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man, talking about Jesus, really was a prophet, he would know who was touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Judgment. Shade. This uninvited guest and this awkward situation made them feel uncomfortable. And the story teaches us tonight that uncomfortable situations are going to invade our life whether we invite them or not. Uncomfortable situations are going to invade your life whether you invite them or not, real life. Uncomfortable opportunities to walk in forgiveness are coming whether we invite them. And how we respond will determine if we live our best life or not. How we respond to those difficult situations. This woman was not invited, yet here she was. The religious leaders were having dinner with Jesus, and she barges in uninvited and doing something that is very unorthodox. Guys, I've learned from firsthand experience that we can literally be doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing, and people will hate you for it. We can be doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing, and people will hate you for it. I was supposed to defend this little girl that was being treated poorly in the church, and I got punished for it. I was hated because I defended someone who deserved to be defended. Man, teammates will hate you, athletes, for putting in the extra practice and time to get on that starting squad. Can I get a witness? Classmates will hate you for studying and making the grade that sets the standard for the teacher's grading curve. Come on. Y'all know you definitely look at that person who got that 99% on that test when the rest of the class got like 53s. And the teacher's like, oh, we're curving this 1 point. Everybody's like, thank you. We hate you. People will hate us for standing up for what's right and defending people like this little girl I described earlier. People who need our help most. Real life tonight, God wants us to realize that hurt people hurt people. And many times, the reason people lash out to hurt us is out of their own insecurity. The reason, man, you don't even know what's going on in somebody's life that is hurting you. You don't understand their backstory. Hurt people need someone to love them when they're unlovable. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hurt people need someone to affirm them when there may be nothing good to affirm in their life at the moment. Hurt people need someone to see something in them and not their circumstance. Hurt people need someone to love them in spite of themselves. That's what God's called us to. God wants us to realize tonight that everyone has a backstory. Your pastor has a backstory. That's the context in which I make my decisions. How I've lived and what I've experienced is the very context of how I act and behave on a day-to-day basis. You have a backstory too, real life. It's the context that creates a platform for our decision making. And people are angry because they live in an angry home. There's people in this room that are angry because of your home situation. Some people are hard-hearted because they have to keep their guard up to survive the environment that they have to live in. There's a backstory. The church could be so much more effective at reaching those who love Jesus, with the love of Jesus, reaching, that's our core value. The church would be so much better at reaching with the love of Jesus that for people who need it most, if it would at least try to know the context of the life others live. Man, when we are judgmental and unforgiving, most of the time we don't know what people are going through and what's causing them to react the way they are. This woman was pouring out her most valued possessions along with her deepest emotions to Jesus because she had been through so much. She had come to know that despite of her past, it's the grace and forgiveness of God that unlocks your best life. She had come to a realization. She heard Jesus was here. She knew what he did on a regular basis to heal and forgive. And she realized that it's the grace and forgiveness of God that unlocks our best life. All the religious people in the room thought to themselves, if Jesus really knew, he wouldn't be allowing this. And Jesus is savage. It's awesome. The story goes on. They didn't say this out loud. The scripture says they thought it in their mind, if Jesus only knew. But Jesus, in verse 40, it says, Jesus answered him. He said, Simon, I got something to tell you. Simon's like, sir, go ahead, teacher. And Jesus said, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed $500 and the other owed $50. Neither of them could pay the money back. So the lender forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more? Which of them will be more grateful? And Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the $500 debt. Jesus said, you've judged correctly. Tonight, real life, no matter how much you owe or how little, we all need to be forgiven. No matter how much you owe or how little, all of us need to be forgiven. Maybe you're not involved in terrible sin that our culture considers taboo. Maybe you just have a bad attitude from time to time. You still need the cross of Jesus Christ just as much as the person who's addicted. I don't know about you, but I have extra grace for others because I've received extra grace when I've needed it most and didn't deserve it. Real life, I'm able to see in others not for who they are presently, but I'm able to see others for how they will be in the future, because other leaders in my life have seen something in me and believed in me and hoped in me and pushed me and said, you can be better than what you are today. And that has given me the strength to see that in others. Jesus was trying to teach these church people, and he's trying to teach us tonight, that extreme forgiveness unlocks extreme gratitude. When you are extremely forgiven, you get really grateful. I don't know about you, but I am grateful when I've been given grace. Whether he forgives us of 500 sins or of 50, it is the forgiving grace of God that unlocks our best life. I want to invite the band to come as we close. The passage of Scripture concludes, it says in verse 44, it says, then Jesus turned to the woman, and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came to your house. You didn't give me water for my feet, but this woman wet my feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair. He said, Simon, you didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, to the woman. And other guests in the room began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sin? And Jesus said to this woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Real life, I've come tonight to tell somebody, when someone you trust and someone you esteem hurts you, forgive. When a best friend snaps on you, throw some major attitude your way. You don't know what they've been through that day. Forgive. When your parents or leaders that God has placed in authority over you seem to let you down, forgive. When your circumstances and your day-to-day struggle is so hard and you get upset with God, because why would a loving God allow this to happen in my life? I'm here to challenge you, if that's you, forgive. When you try to do what's right and your boss threatens you, makes you feel like you're a terrible leader because of your perspective, you got to do what I had to do. You got to forgive. We all have a choice in these moments: to get bitter, to allow anger to infect our hearts, or to forgive. And when these difficult situations catch us off guard, it's a trap trying to prevent us from living our best life, really. Holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness, this is so powerful. Holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to be hurt by it. When you hold on to a grudge, when you're angry, when you're mad at the situation, it's like drinking poison and expecting someone else to be harmed. How we view others is a reflection often of how we view ourselves. If you find it difficult to forgive others, my guess is tonight you're in this house and you're having a hard time forgiving yourself. The good news of the gospel and the key to living your best life is this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, it said, Jesus said, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But here's the very sobering truth. If you don't forgive others of their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you of yours. Some of you, I know your story. Some of you, I don't. The other weekend, I got to preach at the Teen Challenge Conference. I was saying something personal, and one of the boys yelled out, you don't know me. And I said, that's right. I thought to myself, that's right, but I know the God who knows you. And I thought to myself, I don't know your situation, but I know what can fix your situation. What I do know is that God, in his grace, his mercy, and his love, stretched out his hands on Calvary's cross and having a difficult time breathing, he said, Father, forgive. They don't understand what they're doing. Your situation is hard tonight, but Jesus looked beside him and he saw a man who had done nothing good in his life. He was being crucified justly, as Jesus was innocent and still being punished. And this man looked at Jesus and he said, I want to go to your kingdom. And Jesus looked at a man who had done nothing right in this life. And he looked at the man and said, surely today you'll live with me in paradise. Someone who didn't deserve it. Someone who didn't earn it. It was the grace of God that was poured out on the cross of Calvary. So I want to invite you to stand right now. Bow your hearts, bow your heads with me as we close. Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the gospel. I thank you that the gospel is forgiveness. God, I thank you that there is nothing that we can do that the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ can't cover and forgive us of. So tonight, if there's a person in this room and you think to yourself, Pastor, you don't know my story, man, that thief on the cross next to Jesus proves to me that even though I don't know how deep your sin is, even though I don't know how great the shame and the guilt is weighing you down, even though I don't know how terrible the decisions you've made over the past few weeks with your life, maybe I don't know, but I know that Jesus will refuse to look at that sin, and he'll look at the cross, and he'll nail your sin to that cross, and he'll wipe every stain away, he'll cleanse you, and he'll robe you with righteousness, and he'll look at you not as a sinner, not as someone who's disgusting, not as someone who's an outcast, but he will look at you as a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So all across this room, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you're in this room tonight and you say, Pastor, I want that kind of forgiveness. I need that kind of grace in my life. I am far from God, but I don't want to be anymore. I want the gospel to forgive me. I want the blood of Jesus to be applied to my sin. Raise your hand and hold it high right now. I want to pray with you. All across this room, you want Jesus to set you free from all condemnation. You want to be done with the shame. God is not going to judge you. He's going to forgive you tonight. One more opportunity all across this room. If that's what you want, raise up your hand. Thank you, God, for all of these people. Now say it loudly and say it proudly. Dear Jesus, all across this room as a family, we love you, Jesus. We don't deserve the forgiving grace of the cross of Calvary. But right now, we accept by faith the forgiveness that comes through you, Jesus. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to forgive me of all unrighteousness. Set me free from any bondage. Set me free from guilt. Set me free from shame. God, I am a new creation tonight because of the blood of Jesus. I will follow you from this moment on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Somebody give God some praise. Come on, leaders, if you'll come to the front, leaders, come quickly. Here's what I want us to do. Tonight, God wants to set us free, not just with salvation, but he wants to set us free from the anger. Some of us have been holding on to grudges. Some of you are upset with one another. And the Word of God is challenging you. It's time to forgive. It's time to forgive people who have wronged you. It's time to forgive people who have done you dirty. It's time to let go of the bitterness and the pain. Some of us need to allow God to soften our hearts. And I promise you, if we will do that tonight, He'll allow us to live our best life. So God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the grace. We thank you for the unmerited favor that we're about to be given because of the forgiveness that's going to flow in these altars. In Jesus' name, if you want to pray, come quick.
thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed, make sure you hit the subscribe button for our weekly sermons, and don't forget to follow us on social media for updates. If you have any prayer requests, feel free to email us at reallifecolumbus@gmail.com. We'd love to partner with you in prayer. Be sure to tune in next week on the Real Life Podcast.